Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Skipper's lined up on the right. He's going to hand the ball off to Montgomery, and he crashes in easily for the Lions' touchdown. His second of the day.
All right, Pepe, I got to sneeze.
Peyton's doing a so the fist pumps that are going on, Peyton's doing a thumbs down fist pump.
Yeah. All right. Clever.
Sean is sneezing. Bobby's doing his thing. Caitlin was fist pumping in the background. So Peyton's, I like the Peyton's though. The thumbs down fist pump. I hadn't seen that one yet. Mm-hmm.
Final hour fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube on a what Cowboys Monday? How would you describe it so far?
Freeing.
Okay.
It's a very freeing Cowboys Monday.
I like that.
I'm free. We're free. We're free of this team. The expectations have gone from, you know, let's just say they've gone from the middle of the mountaintop to now we don't even know where the mountain is. Okay, that's the thing. We don't even know what the mountain looks like.
It's Detroit, Michigan.
It's a very freeing Monday.
It's a stage five Cowboys Monday. They've accepted it. We're at acceptance now. People know what this team is. They were trying to just, like, nobody was getting hype after the Giants game. Steelers game gave people a little bit of optimism because, like, ooh, they won in a different way. They did it on the road. And all those are true. They deserve credit for it. But then they got back here, and Detroit is a good team. But what you showed yesterday is you can't play with good teams.
Yeah.
You are not a good team.
Last year when they played San Fran, I got in here, and then you walked in, and we looked at each other, and we just laughed. Right,
well, it wasn't that bad a game, according to Maggie Gray at 5:05 this morning. So
this one, yeah, we just laughed. Sean and I just laughed. We got, yeah, you kidding me? Like we knew, right? And then this is the same, a very, very similar feeling.
I tried to bet $5,000 on that game last year.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Because to me, the,
could have paid your water bill with that one.
Yeah. The only difference between this game and that game last year is that that game last year, you knew that you weren't. You weren't on the level of the best team in the NFC. This game makes it worse because now you know you're not on the level of the two best teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
So it's like you've got more teams that you know that are just that far ahead of you.
I texted Pepe last night. I'm like, how crazy is Post? Walchuk is co-hosting today with Corey Major, so we can ask him this at 9:40. Pepe, did he get hype yesterday? Callers losing their minds? You said 2,000 people on the YouTube, Fan Cam, and Twitch. Did Broadus and Zach fight? Any craziness?
No fights, no screaming and yelling. I was disappointed, but at the same time, it's like, I understand. They're depressed. I mean, all the Cowboys fans were just like, hey, get rid of the quarterback. There were some Cowboys fans giving mock drafts. You know, it got to that point already. We're October. We're already thinking about our first-round pick. So it was crazy, but not any screaming or yelling like that.
All right, after the game, Jerry Jones, I put up the poll question. What will Jerry do with McCarthy? 85% of the Tolo said nothing. He will keep him, and he'll be coaching at least against San Francisco after the bye week. Jerry was asked by reporters if he's thinking about a coaching change.
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, not considering that.
But you've done it once before.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
I just want to get this out of the way. I like to ask these questions so we at least cover it. Is there any way today, before we do our show tomorrow, that Jerry Jones fires Mike McCarthy today?
I would think not. No.
0%?
Yeah, 1%. I just don't think that
settle
he's
down just a little bit.
He's not going to pay a coach to sit on a beach. He won't do it while the reason he did it with Wade is because you knew the season was literally over. I think they were 1-7
okay.
At the time. They're 3-3. Reasonably, you could say he's going to look at it and say, all right, what is the best chance of recovering this and getting to the playoffs? Is it with Mike, who's been to the playoffs with us the last 3 years, and basically every year as a coach goes to the playoffs? Or somebody else.
Do you think he should today, right now?
No. No, I don't think he should.
Bobby, any chance, and do you think he should now?
I mean, he should have in January.
That's not what I'm asking.
I know, so I'm saying my position has not changed since January. He should. He but every now, week, every yes, it he should go.
And what good would it do now today?
It gets the ball rolling in the direction of
this isn't college though, where you got a recruiting season.
No, but we're talking about like coaches and stuff. They were way too quick the last time. They took forever to make a decision on Garrett after the season ended. Let him come into the office for 4 days without a contract. Just roll on in there and
oh, it's like Odyssey.
Go through his 4 months. Go through his binder and everything like that. And then when they actually started interviewing people, they took 36 hours. They were like, oh, McCarthy, that's it. We'll interview two people. One. They interviewed McCarthy, and then they threw the Marvin Lewis one in there to check their box and so that they didn't get in trouble with that. But they sat down with McCarthy and went, okay, this is the one. You need to put out a signal right now that this is over. We're open for business. Belichick, you want to get ready? Get ready. Vrabel, you're sitting on the side. You need to get ready. Lincoln Riley, if you need some time to think about, do you want to stay at USC or do you want the NFL coaching life? Fine. Like, it just get it going.
But nah, I was thinking you were going to talk about some things connected to saving this season. That's stuff they can do behind the scenes and reach out and illegally tamper and contact. all that stuff can still happen. I thought you were going to talk about something to save what's happening on the field right now.
I mean, I don't think this roster is worth saving. Like we talked about it. Was it Thursday we did the trade scenario? Like, I think you need 5 trades to make this team work.
Now,
you could have Tom Landry, Don Shula, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Belichick. I don't care who out there. They're probably at best 4-2 right now. Maybe they handle the Saints better. They're not completely unprepared against the Saints. But you know, I feel better about where they are probably. I obviously don't know what does the offense look like for the first 6 weeks of the season if Mike's not involved in it. That might look different. But I don't see any reason to give a courtesy for just let him play it out. No. You have done more than enough to show consistently. This team, minimum once per year, quits on McCarthy more than they did in 8 years with Garrett.
The courtesy is to let him go. That's the courtesy.
Let him get a head start?
So it's like, you know, it's the old, and if you already know, if the Cowboys truly know what they're going to do in the offseason, any decision that will be done eventually, should be done immediately, that whole thing. Like, if the Cowboys know, let them go.
Which I think there's a close to 0% chance that they are that forward-thinking.
Right, they're not.
Jerry's like frozen syrup.
Yeah. So, like, if they know that they're going to move on from him in the offseason, let him go now. You get a head start on your next coaching hire, and you let him figure out, you know, get a head start on what he's going to do next, right? But they don't operate like that. And also, you know, I do think that this team... Jerry will not admit that the team isn't good enough. So he's going to continue to have Mike there until it's basically he has to make the decision. At 1-7 in 2010, he had to make that decision. At 3-3, you know the way he operates. Yeah. Like, it's always the players are always good.
Mike McCarthy was asked last night, does 3-3 define the type of team that you have?
You are what your record is. I mean, so I think we've had some out of balance games that when you get in out of balance games and you're on the wrong side of it, you know, you have the numbers that we have. You know, our turnover ratio is as low as I can ever remember it here. So, and that's not who I am as a head coach, and that's not where we invest our time. That's not where we invest. I mean, you have to have ROI. I don't care what level of football you play. Football's not going to change, and that's why they call it football. And we're not taking care of the football, and we're definitely not taking it away. So we need to improve there. And we've had, 7 turnovers in 7 days? So maybe 8.
The turnovers, in my opinion, they're not even close to the top of this team's problems. They're not even close defensively to ball carriers. Your physicality, your toughness, that's way, way, way more of a concern than the turnovers. But here's the big difference, one of the big differences between the fans, us, and Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones looks at 3-3 like he probably thinks that we are all completely overreacting to a 3-3 football team. 500, you have life. We're undefeated on the road. And the difference is the rest of us who follow, watch, breed the football team, we already know. Jerry wants to hang on to some type of hope that is not going to be fulfilled. We already know, and we want to get ahead of it and be proactive. That's the difference. We knew in the offseason. That's why we're not filled with rage and we're not devastated and all that. We already knew, and we didn't buy Jerry's sell job this time. We didn't. But he's going to look at 3-3 and try to sell it tomorrow. And 500, anything can happen. And we just are over it. We're over it. Jerry sucked the life out of the fan base when he didn't make a major coaching change in the offseason. Then he sucked more life out of the fan base when he didn't add to this roster to try to catch up with the San Frans, the Detroits, and the Packers. And then he continues to suck the life out of the fan base when he comes on here and says, we have the team, guys. I'm telling you, we can turn it around with this group. Now, I know part of that is public rah-rah to make the team believe, but when you take and take and take and there's no injection of excitement or optimism or real true belief for anything different, this is what you have. This is what you have from the people who cover, the people who follow, and the people who root for your team.
Yeah, I 2 points. One, to the idea
that and by the way, I'm sorry, Bobby, real quick, let me for the record. If you want to have Al Harris take over today, fine, emotional spark, see what Al Harris has. I'm not for getting rid of Mike McCarthy today because I do think the positive, the good and the bad of what Mike does, how he handles his locker room, I don't know this to be fact. I knew the Micah stuff when I said it months and months ago. That's why I said that to be fact about, you know, he's wearing thin with some. Since I think he's done an amazing job turning it around comment-wise, and his PR has been off the charts, very good. I don't think Mike is hard enough on his football team. That's why they're undisciplined and they're soft and all the other problems that we see on the field. But the good part of that is it could cause some people to fight for you. Dak Prescott, in my opinion, does not go to Mike McCarthy's parents' house in Pittsburgh unless he likes Mike McCarthy and wants to fight for him. We heard that in the post yesterday. I think Mike being this much of a player's coach should keep him around for right now.
Helps
and that
him.
Jerry should not fire him today or before San Francisco. So I'm not all down for getting rid of Mike right now.
Wade was a big player's coach.
It's going to happen. The Dallas Cowboys.
During the year?
I don't know. The Dallas Cowboys will have a new head coach, I think. I'm pretty confident at the start of next season. It's going to happen. I just am not raging that it has to happen right now today.
Here's the thing that I think.
Dramatic there, Nick.
Because you definitely ain't freaking promoting our guy Mike Zimmer. That's for damn sure. And I definitely am not promoting Brian Schottenheimer with this offense.
You can't promote either. If you promote Mike Zimmer, I mean, you want to talk about people like you, the fans looking at you sideways.
Here's what I think is interesting. First off, I think you're right. Jerry's not willing to admit that the team's not good enough yet. But that's why it's even more surprising to me that he hasn't adjusted what this team is yet, and he's content with what he's getting from them. Like that he thinks it's like, so to me, I would think there'd be more like eagerness to say, gotta find a spark, gotta change out a coach, if you really believed the roster was what it was and that it's underperforming. But here's the thing. Through 6 weeks, the year they fired Wade Phillips, they were 1-5.
You know, obviously, the other thing to that point that really, really pisses me off, mm-hmm. Jerry Jones has done his best to convince all of us no change can happen. Like any trades, any that stuff, it's just not possible. It cannot happen. It's like me trying to buy a sports franchise. It's the same likelihood of happening. I don't have the money. I don't have the funds. The Cowboys, they don't have the money. They don't have the funds. They can't. They've done their best to brainwash us that what the Rams do or what the Eagles do or what Kansas City does in buying, it cannot happen here. And that pisses me off.
So if you look back at...
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
the year that Wade got fired. They were 1-5 through the first 6 weeks. We're six weeks in.
We're going to do a Wade comparison tomorrow, so don't give all that away.
I'm just saying where they were at that point of the season when it's like, well, the record. Record isn't the only thing. Their point differential through six games that year was minus 15. They're minus 42 right now. They were picking up 30 yards per game more on offense that year through 6 weeks. They were giving up 50 fewer yards per game than this team is. This is a worse team than the one that got Wade Phillips fired.
Let's talk to Nick Eatman. What is he hearing and what is he thinking about possible changes? Nick Eatman from Outside That Locker Room yesterday, DallasCowboys.com is next.
Let's get you over to Platinum Chrysler Dodge Ram Jeep. And, of course, a Stephen Gilchrist owned store. Gilchrist Automotive hooking you up with that brand new Chrysler Dodge Ram or Jeep at PlatinumCDRJTexas.com. It is right between I-20 and Highway 80 in Terrell. It is worth the short drive to Terrell to save a lot more on that brand new vehicle, Platinum Chrysler Dodge Ram Jeep. Scott Millsap, the new GM over there, he's a Tolo, and he is going to hook you up with that brand new vehicle. Tell him you're a Tolo. Tell him I sent you over there because it is Jeep Adventure Days, boys and girls. 0% financing on select Jeep Grand Cherokee and Jeep Wrangler models. How about 15%? Off MSRP on select 2024 Jeep Gladiators or 0% financing for 36 months and just 2.9% for 72 months. This offer is good till the end of the month, boys and girls, because the entire month is Jeep Adventure Days, which means it goes all the way to October 31st. I am told that is Halloween. Go to Platinum Chrysler Dodge Ram Jeep, PlatinumCDRJTexas.com to customize it and check out the inventory or drive a little further to save a lot more at Platinum Chrysler Dodge Ram Jeep.
Snap to Prescott, third down, looking left, fade, left side of the end zone, intercepted in the back of the end zone by Brian Branch.
Peyton with his depressing music throughout the day. Hey, man, it's not depressing. This is what we need.
You're right.
Okay?
We celebrate losses.
I texted the group. We celebrate annihilations.
That's right.
We celebrate destruction. We celebrate embarrassment because that is the only possible way that something drastic gets done. Nick Eatman was inside the Cowboys locker room. This was, before we get to Nick, inside the Lions locker room. Dan Campbell did not want to make the same Jared Goff mistake as last week.
It's a hell of a win. You guys didn't let off the gas. That's a way to finish it out. I do have two game balls. And this time I wrote down some stats. Let's start here on offense. 18 to 25, 315 yards passing. All right, three tugs, 153.8 quarterback rating. Jared Goff.
So there's Campbell giving Goff his game ball this week. Nick Eatman was in the Cowboys locker room. He joins us, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. I don't think they gave game balls like that out in there. I wasn't in there for that part. I don't think that happened, though.
For the Cowboys, you don't think they handed one out?
I don't.
Who would you have given it to?
Oh my God! I would just put it down. Yeah, just let Aubrey kick it.
Were you in the locker room or by Jerry in case something crazy happened?
No, I wasn't. No, I was finishing my story because it was something I could write like in the third quarter. So I actually finished the story.
You could have wrote it in the second quarter and been done.
I think I started there. I mean, the framework of it, and then kind of finished it off.
Okay, so I think I'm kind of reading what Broadus was talking about in our post game. You're taking this to the offense first. Your DallasCowboys.com article: the Cowboys offense was not ready to be leaned on. Are you pointing the finger there first?
Well, first is the defensive situation. We know what the defense is, and I'm not giving them a complete pass, but we know what the situation is.
Yeah.
So when that happens, the offense has to step up. You have to lean on this offense and this quarterback and this receiver that they've structured to be the leaders of this team for this year and future years. And so three field goals is obviously not cutting it at all. You didn't give your depleted defense even a shot to do anything. Again, I'm not saying just the injuries, they get a pass, but the offense has got to do that. To do anything, they had to step up. And they didn't. They took a step back, actually.
Why did Rico get less carries than Zeke?
I you got me on that one. I mean, the game, I don't even know how many carries they got. I mean, I'm not one that always jumps and says, well, you can't talk about the running game because it was a blowout. When it wasn't a blowout, they couldn't run the ball. So the running game was a factor early on. Like down in the red zone, you can't do anything. You're getting negative yardage that's putting you behind the sticks. They throw picks, all that stuff. So, but to answer the question on why, I think it's a, I don't even like to say 1A, 1B, because that would suggest that they're both like caliber, starting running backs in the league.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way I think they view them, sort of situational backs equally. At this point, they both, have their strengths to do their own things. But either way, it's not good enough. The running game has not been good enough. And go ahead.
But Nick, it's a really weird and bad look that Rico has his best game against the Giants. Zeke apparently goes behind the scenes, has a problem with his workload, and then Zeke gets more carries. That doesn't make any sense.
Wait. Yeah, but let's also factor in, you're looking at the carries.
Pass pro.
I think it was probably the most embarrassing thing that Zeke's ever had happen here. I mean, Awesome Richards, Cooper Rush, Jalen Brooks, all these guys, and Zeke. Zeke's the guy running the ball at the end of the game. Like, that doesn't suggest he's getting more carries. That suggests what they think of him running the ball at the end when they thrown in the white flag. I mean, when you ask the question, why did he get more carries, it's because they gave him the mop-up duty carries, and that's kind of surprising, actually.
Good point. And maybe pass pro was thrown into this as well, with Dak pressured 50% of the time. But even early on, Zeke had more carries than Rico. I don't know. We'll ask Jerry tomorrow. What is going on at left tackle? Where did that come from?
That's a weird one, because Tyler Guyton was he was a full participant on the injury report list, but as they're saying, as the game went on, that they are actually right before the game, they thought he wasn't ready to be the starter. Now, it's one thing to say he's not ready to be the starter. I'm okay with that, I guess, if Tyler Smith and that TJ Best is a better option there. I thought, man, when it got out of control, I was like, well, he should play now. He should play because he needs reps. He needs snaps. So that's what I thought, but then it was like, well, he's not really ready at all. He needs a couple more weeks. Let's play Awesome Richards in there. So I guess we just still haven't figured out the real question is, if he is 100% healthy, then does he go back to the starting left tackle? I don't know that. I don't know what they figured that out. It's not like the combination of Smith and Bass was that great, So. I would think after the bye week, I would think Tyler Guyton goes back to the starting lineup.
Nick Eatman joining us here, 105 through the Fan. This was as helpless as you've seen them look since when?
New Orleans?
It's hard. New Orleans week two? Yeah. I mean, I've been asked that already. Worst loss ever that you remember. No, it's not, but it's up there, another New Orleans game, it reminds me of that kind of where they just couldn't stop them at all. But I said, the defensive issues that they factor in. I mean, obviously the injuries matter to that extent, but it's so demoralizing for the offense to not help them. At all throughout the game, second quarter, third quarter, just found unique ways to keep messing it up.
Do you think that Jerry does something with McCarthy before Sam Fran?
I do not. I do not think that. I don't think that that'll be the case.
Nick, is he a big time players coach? Like, my theory is that, Dak was right, not just saying in the post, but, That Mike tries to go out of his way to get the allegiance and the like from the players, and maybe that is something that they will try to give more effort for. Is that off? What do you know about that?
Well, I think that he is a player's coach. I think that they appreciate him. He does have their best interest in mind, usually when you're looking at the practice schedule and stuff like that. But then again, then Dex does stand out there and say, we need to practice better, practice harder, prepare better, things like that. So, you know, being a player's coach has always been kind of walking that fine line because, you know, yes, you want to look out for them, but, you know, what's their best interest? Is it always the same? I mean, how many players ever wanted to do two-a-days in the sun, you know, in the heat? I mean, like, sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do. So you can't always be a player's coach. And I'm not saying that's what's happening here. I'm just saying, yes, they like him, but there's always got to be two sides to that. And I think that, you know, he's, you know, to answer your question, I just don't think that Jerry is ready to do that based off the circumstances that we've seen. But I do think that, you know, there could be, and again, this is me just thinking, I haven't heard this, but I mean, there are some things that can be done in midseason. I mean, you know, maybe it's some changes to the play callers and on offense or defense. You know, sometimes you see changes at coordinator first before you see the bigger move. So I could see some things like that. I don't know about big personnel changes of trades. I don't know if you want to get into next year's draft capital for this team. I just don't know if they've shown you enough to say, hey, let's go for it this year. I don't know. I think you got to just, you know, hope the defensive guys come back. You get better there. You use the bye in the best way, and you refocus, retool a few things.
Nick Eatman here on The Fan from DallasCowboys.com. Did you think that the Lions and Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson got disrespectful? Was that Bush League with all the trick plays?
Yes. Yes. All right. I'll just leave it at that. I mean, I think so. I mean, yeah. Hey, Dan Campbell's going to do what Dan Campbell does. I mean, that's what he got. That's what he sold the Lions when he got the head coaching job, and he sold the fans, and he did that. That's going to be the way. Yeah, but I do think it was over the line a little bit. And you could say, hey, stop them. It's one thing to always say, like, hey, you know, if you don't like what they're doing, you know, stop them. And that's fine. But yeah, to do some of those plays and to like desperately try to get 68 a touchdown. Yeah, I mean, they were going out of their way to make a point, and he made a point. I don't know if it's the point he's thinking that he wants to make, but hey, good for them and good for their team. That, you know, they do have a good strong team. But to do that, I thought, you know, it was a little much. But then, hey, you know, the Cowboys got bigger problems than worrying about what's going on over there.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com.
You know, my one takeaway and the only negative I can say about the Lions today, they're not good enough coaches to figure out these trick plays because none of them work. There's always a penalty. Someone's downfield. Yeah. So Dan Campbell's not good at coaching up the trick plays, at least when it comes to the offensive line. The flea flicker obviously worked.
Yeah. Hey, look.
So take that, Dan!
Take dubs wherever you can. Okay.
Coach better.
Nick, you mentioned, Jerry said last night, head coach isn't something I'm evaluating. You already mentioned maybe you look at other spots on the coaching staff, spend this time. Jerry talked about evaluating certain things and looking at potential changes, and he referenced personnel a little bit too. What kind of things do you think they could be evaluating in terms of personnel? Would it be lineup changes like the left tackle question, or do you think he's looking at potential player acquisition?
I mean, I think you're gonna look at all of it. But I do think player acquisition is gonna be tough. I mean, if there's a defensive end, if there's a linebacker, if there's a guy out there on the street, wouldn't the Cowboys have grabbed him at this point? And they have. Yeah. I mean, they have gotten these guys off the street. That's it is what it is. I mean, that's what you're going to get when you try to get a Carl Lawson at this time of year or KJ Henry. I mean, that's who's out there where you can go get. I think personnel, you know, changes wise. I mean, just look at what the options they have. Okay, yes, there's a four-time Pro Bowl running back on your practice squad who's not a four-time Pro Bowler type talent right now. If he is, he would have been out there, Dalvin Cook. But he might be able to help something. Maybe, you know, that's one option they have. For some reason, they haven't gone there yet. You know, and yes, you can change up the left tackle spot. You can make some moves, maybe at safety. You got a little bit of depth there. I'm just trying to think of what you have on your team where you can shuffle some things around. But there's not a lot of options. There really isn't.
Thank you, Nick. We'll talk Wednesday. Appreciate it.
All right. See you guys.
Nick Eatman brought to you by the WinStar World Casino and Resort. Crosstalk with a big surprise on the KNC Masterpiece. Find out what it is next.
Prescott throws underneath here to the 40-yard line.
Oh, fumble.
And the ball is fumbled by Ryan Flannoy. Is that his first catch? That's his first NFL catch? Yeah, he made the catch. Branch reached in and Peanut punched it out. And then Terrion Arnold recovered.
It is time for Crosstalk with the KNC, a special edition of the KNC Masterpiece today. Good morning, Corey Majors.
Hey, is there a highlight from yesterday for the Cowboys side? There is a they do have a highlight somewhere.
The ricochet that Rico caught.
Oh, yeah.
I had slippery CD for 27 yards. This was all on the first drive. The Turpin return.
Oh, that was a highlight, yeah.
79 yards.
Didn't they win the coin toss?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then chose to take it.
Yeah, and, of course, Aubrey.
Oh, yeah. Aubrey's a highlight.
Aubrey's an all-time star.
I bypass that a lot of times just because it's expected.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll do all the highlights today then. But also, Sean, we do have Zach Wolchuk in with us today.
What's up, dudes?
At 10:40, we'll do the Chuck Wagon with Zach Wolchuk instead of baseball buckets. Also, Wanker of the Weekend.
Buckets.
Stephen Jones joining us at noon today. And then at 12:20, call in with your Cowboys no thank you notes.
Okay.
Will the Dodgers give up a run in this NLCS?
Bullpen.
Find out from Stephen Jones at noon.
Where do you put Zach next to Corey in terms of the fandom in the building? Is this the 1-2 combo?
Ooh. Oh, no, he's one.
Oh,
yeah, okay. He's one. Corey's definitely two, but Zach is one. Like, Zach, it actively ruins his day and his mood and his life.
What stage of grief are you in, and how much is this hurting or harming your day-to-day activities? How much are the Joneses hurting you from being the dad you need to be? From being the Nick Sirianni you need to be?
Poor Eliza was in a Cowboys fan onesie yesterday. I'm like, should I stop this?
Yeah.
I don't know how to properly raise her in terms of fandom anymore.
Yeah.
I can't not. I guess I'm in acceptance. I knew that this was probably going to happen.
Except this is the final one. So you were not angry yesterday during the game.
Acceptance is where Mike is.
I was not angry. Yeah. Okay, so maybe.
All right, let me give you the stages.
Give me the stages.
I'm depressed.
Okay.
I'm a depressed Cowboys.
There's denial.
Nope.
There's anger.
Okay.
There's bargaining.
I already did that.
There's depression.
That's where I am.
And there's acceptance.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike is at acceptance.
He's actually beyond acceptance at this point.
Quick, Bobby, is it acceptance with an A or an E?
What?
A.
A-C-C-E.
I know. I was asking him which one it was.
There is
I was communicating with Peyton. I didn't even hear what you were saying.
Is there an E?
He's not going to pull it, Bobby.
People say there's an E?
No. Like, there's two ways to spell accept. A-C-C and then E-X-C-E-P-T. Oh. And they're two different things. Okay. And I was asking Bobby if he grammatically knew which one it was.
I didn't think he was going to fall for that one. Except I've never seen anyone
Most
do
people
the
don't know which
acceptance
one.
For the
they
EX.
Don't know when to use accept or accept.
Yeah.
I was working on, because you were asking how mad he was. I think he was clearly irritable when I first sat down and was ready to take shots at the Joneses and stuff. So I'm seeing if Peyton can find it real quick. So he'll let you know. But I think if you heard Zach last night, you would be able to understand really quickly. He wanted to, it sounded like he wanted to fight Jerry.
Yeah, I wasn't happy. I mean, happy birthday, but it's your fault. You know, like, you can be upset, but you don't do anything to correct this, dude. And you are the only owner and general manager. And it's great for us in the media to get Jerry on twice a week, the access that he provides for us. It's awesome for a job purpose, fan purpose. Dude, you're the only one that does post-game interviews in sports. What other owner and GM do you see doing this? Nobody. So the only constant in 30 years now of frustration, depression, disappointment, acceptance, denial, whatever stage you're in, is who's running the operation, right? So they've changed quarterbacks. Dak Romo, you want to look at parallels of this career. The top is the issue here. And I think it's a big concern when he's on with you guys and he's talking about, like, Derrick Henry, well, Zeke, same draft class, right? In what world are you living in where these two players are even comparable? You knew about these problems. It's not a media-driven thing that you need running backs, that your running back room is the worst in the league. That's not a media-driven conspiracy. Open your eyes. Ask your friends in the National Football League what they think about your running back room. They're going to tell you the same thing. And that's bearing out over the course of 6 weeks. They just... It's frustrating as a fan to see how this thing's going. And I don't know how you can really build a culture and change anything from a head coaching perspective when you're Mike McCarthy standing there and Jerry's down the hall giving a press conference and you've got four people in your room. If I'm Mike, it's like, Jerry, just come to the podium. Why should I bother talking? What Jerry's saying is what is the word, what people need to hear. What I say doesn't matter.
Franklin, injury attorney.
Except Friday's at 6:30.
I was in acceptance after the Green Bay game last year. I feel abandonment.
Oh.
I'm in depression. Acceptance for sure. Acceptance since the Green Bay game. Blame it on the blue uniforms. I agree.
Mm-hmm. They won in those last year.
It's terrible. You know,
they beat the same Lions team in those uniforms.
I don't care. I was there at that game. I was there.
I know.
What does that have to do with you being there?
Were you there?
I don't know. I don't know what it has anything to do with it. I just don't like the uniforms.
Peyton did pull it. You can hear the aggression. Whoa. Here. Just a side swipe to Jerry.
How about the clip, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's welcome in Bobby. Bobby, you just came, of course, from the locker room. Your initial thoughts on maybe anything that you heard there and just on the game?
Yeah, I didn't actually go directly to the locker. I was standing
Jerry
out
Jones?
In front of it. Yeah, ooh, with Jerry.
Okay.
Jones.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. How that worked.
Was that venomous?
He's clearly not happy.
Has he looked in the mirror?
A little side swipe for Jerry.
Corey, did you think any possibility that he was going to say something detrimental about McCarthy last night or that he'll do anything during the bye?
I voted on your poll.
Thank you.
And said he won't do anything. I just don't think that they're in the mindset of this season matters that much. Yesterday was a preseason game. It looked like a preseason game for everybody but Dak. And he's like, everybody else is in preseason mode right now. Even Zach Martin was in preseason mode.
Let me ask you this because you get to interview both of them.
Yeah.
Do you sense more anger? What's the difference in emotion that you get from Steven on a day like this versus Jerry?
Jerry is.
Which one frustrates you more or not?
Oh, frustration wise, it's probably. That's tough because Steven, whenever things are good, he's happy to talk. Whenever things are bad, you could ask him the same question four times and you're getting the same answer every time. With Jerry, he'll talk around answers. That's frustrating as hell, too, because you're asking a real question. And he's like, I'm just going to BS you until everything's good. And then we get yelled at for not being more pressing on it. And you're like, I asked him four times.
Yeah.
The dude's going to give you whatever he wants to give you. I can't do any more than that. So yeah.
That's, are you embarrassed?
Yeah, that is frustrating. So
embarrassed?
I think the level of frustration is
a little grips.
It doesn't sound like reality is there with Jerry. Not in like his mind, yeah. But the reality of what this whole thing is. And with Steven, it's like, I don't know exactly what to do. It feels like.
Does Broadus get upset during the games?
When on the road, we're watching together in studio. Yes. He will yell at the TV. We'll be in that together. I mean, the most mad I've ever seen him was Jalen Tolbert Green Bay last year. Lines up offsides. What are you doing? And he's throwing it. He's taking notes during the game. He's throwing it. At the stadium, no. I mean, he hides his emotion.
How different is his, like, in-game reaction towards, after thinking about it for a little bit, what you get on post or G-bag the next day? Like, is he much more unhinged and saying, fire this or cut that in the game or no?
Yes. I think in the game with me, he will be way more emotional than he will be in the post game.
How many Lions fans do you think were there yesterday?
It's a good chunk. I mean, there were definitely some good pockets of Honolulu Blue. I mean, I do think overall,
Blue, huh?
Probably Saints have traveled the best. Lions and Ravens was really close. It's tough to decipher, but I think you got a lot of Cowboy season ticket holders. I know my father-in-law is one that are selling their tickets right now.
Oh. Do you think that they should do something with Mike before the bye?
I don't think it's going to matter, but yeah. You can't lose the way they have three times in a row at home. And if that wasn't quitting yesterday, I don't know what quitting looks like then.
Who'd they quit on?
Each other? The head coach?
Themselves.
I mean,
yesterday they didn't have the talent. I'm not giving them a pass. They don't have the talent.
Defensively, you get a pass, right? But offensively, your play caller is your head coach. And that offense was disgusting. And they had all of their key parts. Don't tell me about Brandon Cooks because you weren't getting anything out of him before he got hurt either.
So do you think that they quit the same against the Saints and Ravens? We have three instances of quitting, or how was yesterday different?
I think yesterday was worse. I mean, there was at least the Ravens game. You could point at the fourth quarter and say they showed a little bit of fight. That was just lay down and just lifeless. Yep. I mean, the offense just showed absolutely no sign of life whatsoever.
and the Packers game and Saints game compared to yesterday?
I think yesterday was worse. I think to me it was the tipping point, yeah.
I think Packers and Lions are more comparable in terms of quit or lack of preparation, whereas Baltimore and New Orleans, like New Orleans beat your ass. They just beat you. And then Baltimore was a tough matchup and you were late to spots. I didn't feel like effort was as much of an issue in those two as much as you were just getting your ass beat. Yesterday it was you getting your ass beat and you didn't care. And you're just kind of like, okay, whatever.
What will the tone be today with the pressers? Will they be defiant? Will they have attitude? Will they own it? What do you think it'll be?
I mean, it's really hard for McCarthy to get through a press conference without attitude, no matter how the team is going. So he'll have attitude today. Zimmer and Schottenheimer, generally not. Steven, I'm sure, will be frustrated when they talk to him at noon.
And we'll have Jerry Jones tomorrow at 8 o'clock, along with Around the NFL and the college football kegger that Bobby is really, really waiting for. Special edition of the KNC Masterpiece with Zach Woolchuk and the G-Bag Nation representing next on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.